Welcome to the Modern Goat Rider Podcast.
Goat Rider Podcast. I'm Billy Sanderson.
I'm Tara Zajac, coming to you live-ish.
Ish, yeah. We're live. We are in a... We've moved Studio FLT from my basement to the second floor of the Oddfellows Hall on Douglas Street in beautiful Victoria, British Columbia.
And should we talk about the robes?
We're going to talk about the robes during the interviews.
Okay, right.
So we won't talk about how we're dressed right now.
Okay.
But we're in a cold room. Let's just put it that way. But we are here in our ante room. Today is a big social for the Oddfellows here in Victoria. Columbia has their traditional last meeting of the year as a social. And although COVID restrictions and all those fun things are still upon us, a smattering of high quality Oddfellows showed up here, new and old.
And Lodge.
And Bastion Lodge and Columbia Lodge, joined. So yeah, we're here to kind of continue our little Oddfellow-y diversion distraction from the troubling times that people see kind of on an everyday thing in COVID and just in everyday life. So we're here not to change the world. We're here not to change the order. This little podcast is here to hopefully brighten your day and make you think about Oddfellowship a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
you know, it's funny when you see folks day to day, your brothers, sisters, the lodges, you have these chats and you participate together and you feel like you have a sense of where they're at and why they're there. But we had four lovely guests today where we really got to drill down to how they got here, what their hopes are, and just a little bit more about them. And I learned some things. And I feel like, you know, from mine and Billy's perspective, as folks who've been around for a little bit, got to, I don't know, share my personal thanks for their involvement. And tonight's no exception that these folks are here at the social. So it was a great opportunity to pick their brains. They didn't know what was happening.
Ambushed.
Yeah, ambushed. Like the on cartoons where it has the hook on the stage, except instead of pulling them off the stage, you pull them on the stage into the ante room.
Yeah.
Little did they know.
Yeah.
They left happy and with a Modern Goat Rider sticker.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So don't think we don't pay yet.
Yeah, we pay. We pay with beautiful 3-inch diameter swag. So you are going to hear from a new member and then a member.
New member of C2.
New member of C2, initiated 2.5 weeks ago.
Yep.
And then you're going to hear from a lovely longtime member of Bastion 4. And then we are going to meet two classmates from Columbia 2 who joined around the same time with very interesting stories about their life. And that we felt were really good ones to end on.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to wait until the very end to understand the hint at robes, because that's when we finally talk about it.
Yeah, and none of it's a chore. I think that it's nice to have the podcast where Billy and I sit back and let the speakers be the stars.
Yeah, this was an easy show.
It was an easy show, and I think that we should just do this all the time. We have such interesting people in our lodges.
We should just do it on lodge night.
Yeah, what are we? Just a couple of hacks here.
But
we have good people.
We have good people.
Yeah.
Everyone, we hope you enjoy the show, and we'll talk to you again soon. There is a hint. I will give a teaser right now that in January, we're going to be doing a show about degree lodges. And so that's being facilitated by our friend Toby Hansen. And so we'll have some people from a degree lodge in the great state of Washington to join us and chat about that. So until then, please enjoy our four guests.
Top seven.
Anyways, welcome to Modern Goat Rider.
Yes, here we go.
Do you know about us?
I do. I heard a few of your podcasts when I was looking into The Odd Fellows, and I listened to some of them. Yeah.
Cool. They made you run away, or you still joined?
He's still
joined.
That's
amazing.
Well, yeah, no, I still joined. I was just, I didn't know anything about them, right? So a lot of the references were unknown to me, what you were alluding to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was like, oh, I wonder what they're talking about there. So, you know, and then as I delved more into it, I got more out of it, I think. So, yeah.
Cool.
Great. And we're going to stop this to have you introduce yourself also.
Yeah. So start with an introduction. Who are you, sir? How did you get in here?
How did I get in here?
Besides Modern Go Rider.
Yes.
Essentially convincing you.
My name is Kelly Ketcherson. I'm an initiate this year for the COVID year. So
congratulations.
Thanks. It was a tough crowd to get into, I guess. It was a long time coming. So I'm happy to be here. How did I get in here? I guess I met a few guys through work that belonged to the club, and one of their wives started doing cold water swimming.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah, and so I got dragged down to the ocean, and I started doing cold water swimming with those guys, the Oddballs, and then I a few of the Odd Fellows started showing up at the water, and I got talking to them and learning a little bit more about it, and it seemed like a friendly group.
Mm-hmm.
And the points that they were providing seemed reasonable to me, so I thought, well, maybe I'll investigate this. I was looking for something that was a little more of brotherhood and some camaraderie in a time where you weren't allowed to have it, so that was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I got started.
Cool.
Nothing like standing freezing in the Pacific Ocean and you're like, please distract me with anything.
Yeah.
Tell me more about this Odd Fellows.
Yeah.
You have me for 10 minutes. And then I gotta go.
Yeah, then I just know I gotta go.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great recruitment technique. Captive audience. Well, we're happy to have you.
Thanks.
Because I've seen you volunteering at some things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I like to be involved in things. And I have a hard time sitting still, so.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
It's good.
Gold star candidate right there.
So why did your investigation lead you to think that joining Odd Fellows would be right for you?
Well, I think that it didn't have to be perfect. Like, it didn't have to be right. I just needed that sense of camaraderie amongst other friends.
Mm.
Okay. And so we built that up in the water, and I liked what they were talking about. They seemed like they weren't crazy, so I thought, well, it wasn't. They didn't seem off.
Yeah.
They didn't see as you guys look in your robes. So I thought, well, that's not so bad, and I could get involved in something that involves doing good things to the community. I saw some of the stuff that Russ was doing and Andy, and I thought, well, I like to be more involved in the community and give back a little bit. So I thought, wow, why don't I try that? And really, I was, you know, you could go your whole life and just be isolated in Victoria. It's a hard city to get to know people if you don't put yourself out there.
Right.
Yeah. And so I've been here since 94, and my group that I used to hang around with was very active, and then I stopped doing that sport, and I kind of lost a lot of that group, and so I was looking for another group that would, you know, not necessarily have to climb mountains or you know, play football or anything like that, but something that I could still be social and still be interactive, still give back to the community, and still, you know, see some value out of it at the end. So it's kind of selfish on my part. I wanted to get something out of it, then I wanted to give something out of it.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think that the Odd Fellows encompasses that and allows me to do both.
Has anything so far surprised you one way or another?
The goat surprised me. On the sticker you provided, really? Yeah, I didn't think there was a goat there.
The modern what router?
Not too much, you know, like I knew that it was an old association, and so mm-hmm. I knew that there was some history behind it, and then I was expecting some ceremony behind it.
Right.
And, you know, I've gone to, my father was in the military, and we did some ceremonial stuff in uniform with him, and I like that aspect of it and being involved. And I've also in my own life, I've gone to events where I've had to dress up in tuxedos and suits and stuff like that. And I enjoy that part of it, getting together and putting on a jacket,
right?
You know, rather than just showing up at the bar to have another beer with my buddies. And I like the process, and I like the rigor behind it, and the structure. And so that kind of appealed to me.
Huh. Sounds like someone after Billy's heart.
He sounds perfect.
Yeah.
You're married, are you?
Yeah. Billy wants to know your phone number later.
Yeah. You know, that's really cool. And so this is kind of really nice to meet Kelly, because I just learned of your name, a week before the initiation. So, but we did run into each other at the disc golf, correct?
That's right. Yep. I volunteered for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you volunteer? So you volunteered for that, but nothing before that. That was your first kind of
correct
seeing us in motion. Okay.
Yeah. Dave P was my sponsor.
Okay.
And so we had played together Ultimate for 25 years, I want to say.
Right.
And I was like I said, I was looking for something, and I knew Dave was involved, and so I reached out to him, and also Jeff Dorian, and I'd worked with him, and so they were kind of my ins, and I could ask them questions without having to actually get involved.
What did Dorian tell you about it?
He's told me good things.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah? Good.
He said, don't be a schmuck.
Yeah, no schmucks allowed.
Yeah. So from the initiation, what kind of struck you?
What struck me? Let's see. I like the secrecy of it all.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of intriguing, right? You get brought into this secret circle, and you get to, you know, be involved in something that's outside of your realm of comfort, and initiated into a brotherhood that allows you to rely on others that you wouldn't necessarily have ever met.
Right.
And so, you know, there's an expectation of trust, I suppose, when you get involved in a group like this. And you know, I'm not exactly running out there to get them to do anything I need, but you know, that trust will build as as I learned about more about them, and I like to think so, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's why I come out to these things and be involved in the events.
Yeah. Well, and you came to, there was a random Friday mini informal social that you came to as well.
Right.
Oh no, that was the wrap party.
The wrap party.
You came to that too. Yeah, no, I think that's super important when you're loosely or newly involved to just get in there early for whatever, like the saying yes.
Yeah. I signed up for the Red Roller.
Yeah,
I signed up for the Tunnel of next Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to put myself out there and try.
That's good.
Try new things.
Good.
Yeah, we're very lucky that there's enough things going on here and that we have a big group. So it's a COVID year, and like last year was really hard. 2020 was really hard to kind of get any kind of momentum for new people to hear about us or know about us. I mean, you went to Oddballs, so you just happened to run into a high concentration of Oddfellows in one place.
Right.
But we're not usually that distributed. We're very sparse and sporadic when you're running into people. So now we get back to some more events, some things that people can show up to. I remember at disc golf there were at least three other new people that I met, and you get to meet all kinds of people that you'll recognize at future events.
I found that they weren't really forthcoming with the fact that they were Oddfellows, you know, like, so you kind of had to eke it out of them, you know. So I don't know how you guys promote Oddfellows in that sense. Like, do you just blurt it out, I'm an Oddfellow and this is what we do when we're looking for new people, or do you just try to suss them out, look for schmucks and try to avoid them, you know? And
we've got schmuck guard, you know, kind of watching for it.
That's right.
Watching
with your third degree.
Yeah, third degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the initiation for the third degree. Schmuck radar.
It's a long lecture.
Yeah.
How to find schmucks.
Only the ones that stay awake can enjoy it.
Exactly. So we've been asking everybody what they're looking forward to in 2022, because this is a year-end kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward in terms of the Oddfellows or in terms of life?
Either or, whatever you...
No, they're the same now.
Yes.
No one told you that? Yeah.
You drank the Kool-Aid, get on. I guess I'm looking forward to, I'm traveling, obviously, you know, and seeing people again and being more social, but, you know, we still have a long ways to go in that in that realm. But that said, I am traveling next week, going south for a little holiday.
Where are you going?
Okay. Mexico.
Nice. Oh. Yeah. What part?
Sayulita.
Oh, glorious.
Yeah, it should be nice. So I'll soak up some sunshine, bring everybody back a suntan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like those little coconut bars.
Oh, yeah.
Super good.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're awesome. Yeah.
I appreciate the colorful robes.
Go. Yeah.
So welcome to the Modern Goat Rider podcast.
Is this your first time?
Are we recording?
Yes, we are.
We are.
Okay, we're on the record.
Because you're a listener, I've heard.
Oh, yes. I am definitely a listener. I love it. It's kept me connected, right?
Mm-hmm. It is the distraction that's keeping people connected to Oddfellows. It's distracting them from kind of lousy news or whatever.
Exactly.
Let's be positive, right?
Yeah.
Let's show the love. So who are you?
Well, I
stranger
am.
Stranger that walked into the ante room?
Interesting. I am Jean Medland, and I got involved with Oddfellows, I think, 9 years ago. I started with Victoria One Lodge, the co-ed lodge, more of a social lodge. Hung out there for a couple of years, and I really got involved with Oddfellows because I wanted to help raise money for the community. And Vic One is a bit more social, so I realized over a couple of seasons that they were like, hey, we do our strawberry social and, you know, we have rock soup kind of things. And I was like, yeah, when are we raising money? So I went to Jeff Dorian, who's probably been a guest, and I said, hey, Jeff, what's the deal with Rebecca's? I'd like to, you know, I want to get involved with a lodge that's going to raise some money for the community. And he said, well, talk to Becky Auld, who's also been a member. And is a member, and they were in the works of firing up the first women's only Oddfellow Lodge. So I approached Becky, and she goes, absolutely, you could get involved. There's about 11 of us who were involved with the Rebecca's. We're going to head over and fire up our own lodge, thanks to Dino, right? And so I got in ground floor there. I was the secretary for 5 years with 6 years with B4. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my backstory.
Cool.
Yeah, no, and my husband, who's also a member now, but would make fun of me going off to my grand poobah, whatever. He's like, oh, you're going off to your little cult thing. And then I think at some point he came to probably an Oddtoberfest, and Scotty Aitchison got a hold of him and said, hey, Tim O'Gorman, who will be another guest at some point, you definitely are going to be a member of C2, come with me. So suddenly my husband was heading out to his meetings, and I said, oh, where are you going? Off to your little cult thing. And
joke's on you, Tim.
Yeah, joke's on you. And so it's been great for us socially, because I was born and raised in Victoria, left for a good decade, lived in America, toured with Broadway musicals, lived in Vancouver, worked in the Vancouver film scene. And when we came back, when I finished a tour, I think it was Mamma Mia, looked at Tim and I said, hey, let's have kids. That's a crazy idea. Let's have a family, blah, blah, blah. Where do you want to live? Vancouver, Toronto, Victoria. We'd both grown up in Victoria. And luckily, if I look back on it now, on the way Vancouver housing and Toronto housing is gone, we said, let's go to Victoria. Mm. Mm-hmm. But when we came back, it was really hard to find community.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I joined the pack at my kid's school. I went to First Met United. I went to church. I was on committees. Couldn't find, you know, a community. But then I came to the Oddfellows, and that took a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually we found community. So now Tim has, you know, hangs out with you at C2 and has a lot of fun there. And me with Bastion 4, it's been great. We finally found somewhere we could go regularly, not just a one-off. You might go to a restaurant or a bar or even join a, like the pack or something, where people change and leave. This is more long term, so you get to actually build relationships.
It's not a once a month supper club where you have the same conversation time after time necessarily.
No, you get to do stuff, and you get to build, and you get to work through. There's been stuff where you have to kind of deal with, hey, we have members who we need to figure out what's going on with them, and so it's not conflict free, but it forces you to deal with, okay, what happens when we run into challenges?
Mm-hmm.
How do we figure it out? What are the bylaws? How does it work, right? How do you how do you keep it fair for everyone, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So that's what I like, the structure of Oddfellows is that there is a constitution and there are bylaws and there are, you know, member dues and there's a member in good standing. So that mm-hmm. that's kind of been cool. Yeah.
It is such a weird, weird, not weird, and not odd. It is such a out of the ordinary, let's put it that way, type of organization or opportunity for people. I know the organizations like this exist, but it's an opportunity for the every person mm-hmm. to learn about not-for-profit, learn about history, learn mm-hmm. about the importance of a social interconnection of people. And then if you want to dive into topics like bylaws or constitutions because you have this burning need to, it's there as well. Because mm-hmm. like as you point out, dinner club or movie club, like this is, I'm going to rant a little bit myself, is that I had, before I joined Oddfellows, I was part of a dad's club that I had basically dreamt up. And it was dads with daughters is how it started. Mm-hmm. And so we had criteria to get in. We had the rules of every meeting. We had all these things that kind of just came together as the dads got together and talked about what they wanted to do. Little did we know that there was Oddfellows just existed. Mm-hmm. And right now there's two of us, or three of us are members here. But we were part of the dad's club, and I know I've got, you know, six more guys to pull in from the dad's club. Mm-hmm. But it's a really interesting opportunity for people to find it, because you can just meet your friends and have the same, I'm pointing to you, Tara, is that you can just have that same conversation month after month, mm-hmm. Or PAC, and just love mm-hmm. the fun that happens at PAC. Where the anxiety or the disgruntlement is never ending and mm-hmm. doesn't seem to have a really positive thing except for at the bake sale or something like
yeah.
that. But so what are you getting out of Odd Fellowship?
Well, I think, you know, if I think about those other organizations that I tried to infiltrate, is that they didn't have any social. Mm-hmm. Right? You did a lot of heavy lifting, you did a lot of work, and people would get a little burnt out, and, you know, they'd be like, there'd be little squabbles, and then people would just disappear, and it was like, wow, I made a good friend there, but now they're gone. So mm-hmm. out of Oddfellows, again, it's the long term, mm-hmm. right? And the diversity.
It's not contingent on the fact that your kids are both in elementary school together.
Because when the kids yeah. are at elementary school,
is that gone?
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's like if I was to go sit on the pack at my kids' elementary school, that'd be kind of weird because they're now in middle school and high school and graduated. So it's like, it'd be like,
oh, there's Jean and her cookies.
You people need to learn. I'm here to straighten you guys
it's
out.
It's like, why are you still here?
Yeah.
So it's the long term, which is nice, right? And so it's kind of, it's just the, what do I get out of it? It's the, I love that, you know, we have such a diverse, large group that we kind of all get to kind of sit down and even, you know, call it. It's like, hey, well, we've got some challenges and we want to raise money and we're butting our heads on a little committee. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, remember the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we need to put down our little tiny squabbles as adults and just figure it out, because we need our, certainly through COVID, our community needs lots of stuff, right? Yeah. So that's what's great about it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, and to me, like, you're kind of, in my mind, you and I are similar, where there's like that social aspect for sure and the fundraising aspect. I know for some folks, Oddfellows might be just fundraising or might be just social. And there's this neat spectrum where it can hit a bunch of different personality notes. But you're someone that I've seen at multiple events, and you're always helping out, and you show up to things. And as someone who's also at things, I enjoy seeing your face and your presence all the time. It's great.
Well, and for me, like, being very busy, you know, I was in the entertainment industry, and no, I was not a stripper. People always say that, wow, were you a stripper? No, I was an electrician. Robotic lighting electrician.
I mean, you could go either way.
Either way, right? Yeah. But now I'm a realtor, right? So I segued mm-hmm. out of that career. And so now what I find is great is that if I in the early days when I was busy with kids and busy with that previous career, I would just come and do cleanup for the poker tourney. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. how I really was like, well, I can come down at 10 at night when the kids were in bed. And I'll mop the floor and you know, clear dishes. And Dave Petnuzzo was very thrilled to see me. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, you're on cleanup. But that was literally all I could do 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And then so as, you know, my life evolves and my family evolves, I have more free time. And so that's been great. It's like I can get involved at different levels. Like, that's what I found in membership drive for Bastion 4 was for every 5 or 6 women who would come to maybe a spaghetti social and be like, oh, I might be interested in this. Really, 2 would put pen to paper and, mm-hmm. you know, fill out an application. Like, because mm-hmm. as women, we tend to be, or as parents, or as whatever, women, whoever's, you know, child caring, you got a lot going on. Mm. Got a career. You got kids. You know, it's like, you want me to what? Mm. Come down when? On a Thursday night? For why? So we had to drive a little harder to bring the numbers up. But I started when we were in that big hall, mm-hmm. and there was like 6 of us, you know, shouting to the other end, you know. And then seeing the numbers grow over the years has been very exciting. That's cool.
Good. What do you want to see for next year, for 2022?
Maybe it's been a point of controversy that Billy could attest to, but I loved how Scott HSN would bring in a lot of members. He just was like, you need bodies, you know, don't make it hard. Bring in tons of people. I kind of agree with that. Mm. Maybe that's crazy talk and there'll be lots of...
So you're the new head of our membership committee.
Yeah, you'll get lots of emails, Yep. No, you have to do it slowly. You have to bring people. Because I think Columbia 2... I remember hearing through, you know, not the grapevine, but just in general, it's like brought in too many people quickly and it was tricky. I'm kind of like, you know what? Like, at some point you need a threshold where you need to grow fast enough. Mm-hmm. You need to bring in people. You need to bring them in because you need bodies to do the heavy lifting. Mm. So, because there's attrition too, and those people will step away, right? Mm-hmm. But I liked how, and oh, Billy, lean in here. I loved how Scotty brought in, like, that's how my husband Tim got in, is there was this, there was like 20 guys at every first degree. I was like, and I know it caused challenges, but in those challenges it caused policy to be developed, right?
Well, exactly. The lodge was growing so fast. Columbia was growing so fast. Mm-hmm. I joined 5 years ago now. And I was part of 16, and 5 years later, I think there's 5 of us left.
Mm-hmm. Attrition.
We know that there are components that make it kind of long-term heavy for people. But the members that I met who were steady members that existed when I joined that were steady members, a lot of them have just changed their life. Like a great member who I connected with when I first joined, his kids are now 9 and 12, I think. And so he's disappeared and he'll be back. You know, we'll just wait for him to come back. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we still need someone to lift and stack chairs and do that stuff. So putting 15 people through like Columbia has done for 5 straight years, we should have 130 members, mm-hmm. but we don't.
No, there's a core group. Always
there's
a core.
Always group. A core yeah. that sticks around. We have higher retention year after year. The people that are 4 years ago, we just had not Alistair. Who was here? Stuart.
Stuart. The same year, I think.
Were they? Oh, okay. I thought mm-hmm. maybe they were a year apart, but they're, you know, more visible and that sort of thing. Neil's out there. Neil's part of my mm-hmm. class. And he disappeared for 2 years and now he's back. So we see this wave of people coming. So I totally agree with high initiation as a good thing. And the problem you may be talking about is just, okay, what do we do with them now? Are they mm-hmm. getting serviced? Are they happy? Are their needs being mm-hmm. fulfilled that they don't just become part of the very large group of initiated people that are walking around the street who know mm-hmm. what the Oddfellows are, but don't mm-hmm. come to meetings?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And they end up with a key.
But when you listen, this came up when you were talking to Stu Brown a little bit as well, and that same kind of thing. So if people, are they stepping away permanently, or are they stepping away because we haven't talked to them, and vice versa? So, yeah, there's a few different reasons for attrition, and perhaps it's temporary.
I don't think a lodge can be afraid of
attrition.
Large initiation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just have to, like you say, you have policy or whatever, but you think about, well, what are we going to be like when we're 50 members at every meeting?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to be like? Columbia's going to cross 100. I think we were at 98 with this last class. And so we're one initiation away from crossing 100 of paid members. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't been in this hall in 50 years. There mm-hmm. hasn't been a 100-person lodge. So, and they were probably the Rebeccas. So, the idea of how to, the preparation and how to deal with it. Now you have the organization members or the people who are totally in love with that type of a thing. They all step up
mm-hmm.
and they come part of it. So are you seeing, I don't know, bad dirt, but what is the concern about too many members?
I don't know if it's too many members. It's just
the intake too high.
Yeah, the intake. It's more like people need to do their time first to know what it is. Don't just ram them through degrees to get bumps and seats.
Oh, I don't agree with that. I think a year
but
is
that's,
solid.
That's the sort of interesting piece that I don't think we've ever figured out is, and I'm not saying bashing for it, but just in general, I hear that being kind of the debate that comes up is, you know, you need, because you might have 100 members, but only 20 show up for meetings. And only 10 mm-hmm. do the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
So is it more important to get more people through?
Mm.
So that if the 10 that do the heavy lifting, 4 of them are sick one day or not available or have kids or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's where I don't know where how to solve that problem.
Right.
I don't know if it's a problem, but it's like, do you push through people quickly? Do you make them do their time? You know what I mean?
Mm.
So that's kind of, I hear that debate has been going on for years.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like, and forgive this analogy, but say you're on an online dating app and you're like, well, if I keep waiting for the perfect person, I'm never going to swipe. So you just swipe a bunch, go on a few dates, see what sticks.
Yeah.
And it's not all going to be gold, but there could be some good experiences out of it.
See what sticks is kind of,
Yeah. And again, forgive this analogy to anyone who finds this annoying. But I think that, you know, knowing that some people's lives ebb and flow in terms of their time commitment,
mm-hmm.
I think having a solid base is useful. But I think that maybe because degrees should be earned to a certain extent,
mm-hmm.
that perhaps handing over the keys to the castle too easily devalues the importance that it is. So there is a balance,
mm-hmm.
I think. But like any work group, any volunteer group, whatever, you have the same 5 people doing things all the time. Because they all burn out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know when the next Scott Aitchison, there you've been mentioned
true.
4 times,
yeah,
Scott,
man.
4
I
times.
Yeah, 4 shots. It's that kind of
you don't know when that next leader shows up.
No, no. And it is a numbers game in that way.
Yeah.
That's a tricky thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to define.
But until you get a chance to interface with people on a somewhat consistent level, even in that pre-initiation time, you're not sure what kind of member they're going to be. Because you don't, So I think.
And COVID has made it like, how do you show up to volunteer at events when you're not having events?
Well, for 2021, at least, there's been activity, not mm-hmm. our full range, but there's been activity. And one of the fellows that was in here tonight has, we saw volunteers for the disc golf tournament and mm-hmm. Red Roller. So I think like extra props to those folks who, even within the
without narrow, the party fund,
without the narrow,
social,
within working within the narrow field that we have, they still choose to show up. I think is really impressive. There's another fellow, Russ, who helped out at the picnic. So,
right.
I think there's always a space for people who are keen. That will always find a space for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful talking to you, Jean.
Yeah, thanks, Jean.
Why don't we land the plane here?
So, welcome to the Modern Goat Rider podcast.
Well, thank you very much.
Make sure you smile lots when you're talking, because it comes through.
Is there a camera?
No, it just comes through in your voice.
Oh, okay, because normally I'm quite monotone.
Yeah, and so you want to kind of... No, everybody's that way.
Put
they
a
get
little
kind
bit
of grumpy
more into
they,
it.
I know, I was...
yeah.
You know.
Not just say the same thing.
So... We have a few questions for the people who've been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But what we ask everyone to do when they first arrive is to introduce themselves.
Excellent.
So why don't you tell us who you are?
Who I am? That's a great question. I ask myself that quite often, actually. I'm Alistair Green. I am 50 years old. I have been living in Victoria for the past 25 years in the same place. I'm a stone sculptor, artist, done a lot of teaching and peer programs and whatnot for other people with disabilities, as I'm in a wheelchair after a car accident when I was 21. And just love Victoria, brought a lot of accessibility to the town, and it's just been a real, you know, it's more like a big family instead of being in a city, which was a big, you know, cold shrug.
And where were you before?
I grew up in Courtenay. I was born in Scotland, in Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Courtenay when I was 10. Grew up there skiing and doing everything. You know, it was great, super outdoors, lots of fun. Lots of, like I said, being part of the island.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was drinking and driving, car accident. That was my own fault when I was 21, mm-hmm. coming back from a camping trip on the May long weekend. And just, yeah, it never happened to me because I'm 21 and indestructible. And what's the worst? Yeah, of course, it's everybody else. So worst that I ever thought would happen would be an impaired charge, obviously. Like everyone thought would be the end of the world, and woke up 3 weeks later in a hospital and discovered that, yeah, I broke my neck. So it was a pretty strong lesson.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it brought me, it's been a great journey, however, so it doesn't sound all super negative all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not, yeah, it's definitely a thing of positivity.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that part with us.
Hey, no problem. You asked who I was.
So turning to Oddfellows, when did you join?
I joined Oddfellows, I believe it would have been 2018, I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
I think we were last initiates before lockdown when everything changed. So I remember I was super proud to sign the book, and I think my name was last in the book for, was going to be a year or two after... from initiating and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a pretty proud moment at that point. So it's been, yeah, what, 3 years now, I guess, depending what year we're in.
Right.
So have you experienced a little bit of quote-unquote Oddfellows normalcy as well as
actually
2.0?
A fair amount.
Yeah,
because we actually, it was great. My group was, it was amazing. The guys I initiated with and whatnot, we did a hamburger special, a hamburger supper for the club for everybody as the initiates dinner.
Yeah.
And that came off great. And as a team building effort, it was amazing. We all got to know each other. It was super fun,
mm-hmm.
right? It was just everybody had a part to play, and it was just great to be able to pull that off and actually feel that unity with people you didn't know,
mm-hmm.
but interacting in that sense, and then getting to know the older members and whatnot, and then just being treated like you've been there forever, right? It's been great because everybody's so warming and accepting, and it's been really neat. It's been a fantastic 3 years, and having said that, I've missed it a lot since shutdown, just because, you know, with my health and stuff like that, I don't go out as much, whereas did a lot of the Red Roller with giving food out to homeless and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So it's kind of missed that a fair bit, because it's nice to get out of your own shell and realize there's so much more need in the community. And being a big part of that, I think, has really been a great part of being the Oddfellows, because it brought me down to the core of what Victoria is,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, what we can give back to the people that actually really need it.
Well, I think of you as a super involved member. You know, we're not even the same lodge, but disc golf tournaments, participate in or help out in, or, I mean, I don't feel like, I mean, I know it has in some ways slowed you down a bit, but I still picture you here all the time. I don't think of you as not being around, so you're hyper involved. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we love coming here. That's the
yeah.
thing. It's the beauty of having this, like, amazing historic building to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part I don't think that really comes across a lot, is the fact that you are part of something almost timeless. You know, it's been a couple of hundred years going already, and who knows how long hopefully it will go for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and actually being able to come to the lodge again, like tonight, you know, for a Christmas party, we haven't been down here in a while. I did some Zoom meetings and stuff like that, but I have been, you know, hesitant to come to the lodge just with everything that's been happening. And being able to Zoom in has been a great option.
Good.
So at least you're still able to take part, you know, and you're still there when your stuff works. You might have a few glitches along the way, but it's been great to be able to still be involved that sense.
Good.
Alistair and Christina, his wife Christina. Christina's a member of Bastion 4, but you pulled out kind of a bit of the COVID miracle by having the Robbie Burns event virtually.
Yes.
So much fun.
We all sat. Oh, I enjoyed sitting on my couch with all my whiskey that was sent to me and all that stuff. But so tell us a little bit about planning that one, because that was something I hope we never have to do it again. But
well, we're hoping we don't have to do it again. However, we are prepared if that is our only option this year, because with Omicron now, who knows? You know, there's being changes every day, and there's travel advisories. However, we just want to keep the tradition alive, because it's for members, and it's for us, you know, us to all have fun. Right, and get to know each other better and have a laugh and have a drink. And it's, you know, usually one of the members who does the whiskey tasting, Stuart Brown, once again, volunteered this year. We've, you know, a lot of interest. We've been asking people this evening, actually, how they felt if Lodge was in, you know, right now we're at 100% capacity. So, you know, technically we could start planning and having a full dinner again for everybody. But we don't want to, you know, do we go through the work to have it not happen at the last minute? Or we're looking for more, I guess, kind of a consensus from everyone else in the lodges. Because it is for, you know, for Columbia 2, Bastion 4, and Victoria 1.
Mm-hmm.
Just so everybody's involved in the Rebeccas and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's our, you know, it's our event. And it was great to be able to take over and learn from Russ and have help from everyone, you know, Scotty A, everybody else along the way, to kind of take this as a new mantle for ourselves and taking it almost as kind of our, what we like to do, you know, like for the club, you know, and for all our members, and actually put on a nice evening. And it's been a tradition for so long that it's just something we never wanted to break. And being of Scottish heritage also, I thought, you know what, if I took the mantle, I had a lot of family members would probably be quite proud of me.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious too, just for folks listening who are from other lodges, you know, how they're approaching events and all that too. I think we're all in a similar boat, and depending on our geography, different rules, but I think everyone's in a similar pattern of anticipation and wanting to plan and still not quite. But I mean, last year, even with the distance Robbie Burns, it was still pretty fun.
It was still interactive.
Hilarious novelty,
and we all had laughs and we all got to run around our houses like idiots. And do the things that we normally do here,
right?
But in, you know, a bit more toned down fashion. So,
yeah, that's exactly what we do here. Okay,
well, not idiots, however.
Yeah, we're not idiots.
No,
imbeciles at times.
What are you looking forward to in 2022?
Going forward in time, if it's 2020.
Yeah,
I'm. You know what? Really, just looking forward to a new beginning. I believe it's going to be a whole new beginning for mankind. Things have changed. We've noticed that downtown today. We came down early to do Christmas shopping, you know, go for a bite to eat, you know, see Victoria sites, you know, the Parliament buildings light up. You know, I had my vaccine on my phone, never thought, because I don't usually carry ID because I'm 50. You know, I haven't been in ID in a long time. And got into a, got into the Empress, and then everywhere else was, you know, we got turned away, which isn't their fault. Totally, it's not the server's fault or the restaurants, but it was rather disappointing. So I'm really back, like next year being a beginning where people are, like you can see it now, where people want to get together again. But just, you know, supporting the community a bit more, I think, and supporting your local producers, realizing, you know, with the recent flooding in the mainland that's cut us off, you know, the Malahat flooding, which has left us, you know, it's left us with nothing. You know, since I haven't really seen since 96 when we had the giant storm, right? Lucky enough to live here for that, where I didn't see out my windows for like probably 5 weeks. The snow was built up so high, or get out of the house or go to school, you know, for being able to get in the sidewalks and stuff because it was frozen. So really just want things to, I mean, it's not, I hate the word the new normal. It's just the future. right? Times are changing, but hopefully there's still going to be, you know, a reticent of the past where people still appreciate the brick and mortar, because everything's moved to like shopping online. No, just do it online. Just order it. Just do this. It's so easy. You do it at home. It's just like, well, you know what? Going out and actually experiencing this, you know, the frustration of today, but when I go out tomorrow, I know everything's open till 9, so it's not going to be, you know, that much of an issue, and I can hopefully get my little Christmas fix then instead of, you know, going home as a Grinch tonight going, grr, you know, all the stores are closed.
Yeah. I think that's
a got.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's all in 10.
Thank you very much for having me. Wow. Yeah.
We're going to tap in our next victim here.
All right. Well, I wish you luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. That was wonderful.
Good.
You're welcome. So we are here with a fine member of Columbia Number 2, one Stuart Brown. And as we ask all our guests, please, Stuart, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Stuart Brown. I'm a member of Columbia Number 2 for, I think, about three or four years now. And I live here in Victoria. And, I work in hospitality, and I'm a sommelier. So I train lots of people in lots of areas of hospitality.
Now, if at this point someone feels like, I heard this voice before, it's because Stuart is one of our voices on our intro for the Modern Goat Rider. So there's dulcet tones you've heard many times before.
Yeah. So thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
I'm the biggest fan.
Are you now?
Yes. So I'm excited to hear this episode because I'm always up on the episodes.
You will hit the cutting room floor. Don't worry.
Nice. Well, that's
well,
perfect.
We're glad to have you here because I'm very proud of something that happened in Columbia very recently. Just our last meeting was probably the most spectacular display of theatrics and of degree work that Columbia has seen in ages. I was told this multiple times afterwards, and I bet you were as well, because Stuart is our degree captain in Columbia too. We have degree captains. We don't have a degree team, but we have a captain.
We're building the team.
We are building the team. And this is a bit of a teaser because in January we are going to have a show here on the Modern Goat Rider specifically about degree teams.
Exciting.
Yes. So tune in for that. But we'll talk to you about putting together this year's show.
Well, I had a really good teacher.
Did you now?
Yes.
Who's that?
It's you, Billy.
I know.
And Billy did the degrees for many years. So he, it was good mentorship. So I'm only as good as my teacher.
Oh, no, you're much better than me. Because you had people show up for the rehearsal. I didn't have everybody show up for rehearsals.
Oh, dear.
But you had 100% attendance for the rehearsal, which was
amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I know. We have a great team, a great group. And like most theater things, you realize how little you have control.
You're right.
But it just kind of happened and it worked really well and everyone was excited. So, I'm looking forward to growing on that.
Yeah.
And really stabilizing it.
Yeah, and it's the degree that Michael and Linnea wrote. We interviewed them back last year. And and it's a much better degree, in my opinion. It kind of gave us the chance to put on the lights and turn down the rest of the ambient light and make it nice and dark and have good feels for everybody. I think the candidates really enjoyed it.
Well, I remember when I went through the initiatory degree, how much it impacted me and how exciting it was. So I was really happy to be a part of it.
Cool.
And it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, what a nice way to sort of start your Odd Fellows relationship with all this effort and display as opposed to maybe a more subdued ceremony.
Oh yeah.
You know, like pulling out the stops, I think it's that rolling out the red carpet kind of deal, and what you're in is an investment of your time and your effort. It's going to be worthwhile. We're happy to have you, and this is how we show it, by putting on a good show for you and with you.
Yeah. The initiates, you could see the impact on them, which is really important. It's really not about us. It's about them, because we're trying to, you know, instill excitement and mystery, which I think we really did.
Yeah.
it's really fun to I don't know. It's to share that with new people in the lodge. And that's their first time really being in the lodge in a meeting, in the middle of a meeting,
right,
in a degree, and to see their impact. You could see the looks on their faces, you know. And I remember when that came to me too. And, you know, the messages, even though it's a lot of messaging really quickly, and you're trying to keep up and pick up stuff, you know, the feeling is it's more about the emotional attachment. You want to inspire people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want them to be inspired and to be excited, and I think that's the most important thing.
So here we are, December 2021.
Yeah.
2022. Our fellows, hopes and dreams.
Hopes and dreams.
Hopes and dreams.
Well, it would be great to keep events going. Of
right.
course, that's going to be difficult. I'm looking forward to my first next degrees, so the next ceremonies,
mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of fun. I mean, we kept disc golf going, but I think what's going to be really important is to make sure that all of the members that we had in the past feel comfortable coming back to lodge,
mm-hmm.
reaching out to them. Because there's still people you don't see or connect with. So to make sure that we have all of those brothers and sisters feeling connected with, you know, because our first mandate is, you know, take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're so good at doing the take care of other people, which is great. You know, we have a ton of love
mm-hmm.
on last Saturday and this Saturday at Mustard Seed. But we have to keep remembering to take care of each other and to reach out to, you know, all of those people. You don't want to lose people into the side, the ether, the and to kind of reach out. I think that would be a really good goal for all of us,
mm-hmm.
is to make sure that, you know, we reach out to everyone and make sure everyone's feeling comfortable to come back.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to keep our lodge, our, you know, our community healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. You know, it's a great topic because when Dave Pettinuzzo was the Noble Grand, was my I think it was my first full year as an Odd Fellow, and he had his annual program as Return to the Hood,
right.
And his and Return to the Brotherhood is what the whole name of it was, but his objective was to seek out the members that hadn't been around in a while,
mm-hmm.
and out of that, you know, we've seen, there's I won't name names because you know, they're just Victoria names, but we've had some members that have reappeared, and and even tonight we saw Jerry Ratchford, who was on the podcast a while ago, and Jerry's 93 years old this year, and Lodge is part of his life, and so
amazing.
It's very great to have, it's wonderful to have him back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can go find those people. I spoke to, emailed with a member just last week who was, just didn't pay their dues in 2021. And I asked, you know, what happened? And he said, I'm absolutely not giving up on my Odd Fellows, but you just know I'm at least another year before I'm back at the hall and I can give some time.
Which is fine.
Which is totally fine. But those are the people who you might just go, oh yeah, well, we hadn't seen them for like a year and a half and
mm-hmm.
so forth. So. So yeah, you can reach out, you can do a you know, look back through your registry and kind of keep those people because they made the same commitment we did.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we've all been on that situation where you're kind of part of something, but you're moving away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just a little touch, a little catalyst
mm-hmm.
from someone that reaches out that goes, right, it reminds you of why you did that in
mm-hmm.
the first place. So I think that's important, is just to have that personal touch. It's not an email, it's not a text, it's not a, you know, Facebook message. It's
mm-hmm.
just a genuine, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that'll, you know, even if we reach out to, you know, 30 brothers and sisters and two come back from that, that's, I find, success.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To let them know also that their community is thinking of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been on the back of my mind a lot.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes you can feel like you're not missed. until someone tells you that you're missed.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah. It's...
It's good.
And yeah. And it, those overtures are hard because texting is easier and all those other things are easier. And if you haven't seen someone in a long time, you're like, gosh, if we go for coffee, what are we going to talk about? Mm-hmm. And I want to high-pressure you fraud fellows, you know? So it's... Yeah. And so it could become... just a positive feedback loop on either on the side of either party of non-interest when that's in fact not the sure. case. But it is, as you say, Stu, difficult sometimes to do it, but meaningful when you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No, I look forward to that. I look forward to hopefully getting some events.
Yes.
Revitalized.
Mm-hmm.
We've done more in the past. Obviously, it's been difficult, so we're all ready to do it. We've got ton of love. I'm there on Saturday.
Are you?
Yeah, from 12 to 4. And, you know, I have a friend, a person I've met recently, and she was like, what's going on there? She teaches yoga just around the corner.
Mm.
She's like, what do you do there? So I started explaining it to her, and I said, well, why don't you come and see?
Mm.
So she's coming to Ton of Love to check it out, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. And Ton of Love is very important to me. It's very emotional when you see the families. We go to the Mustard Seed and hand out fresh food for families and the gifts. And, you know, I was a kid who went hungry, and I was that kid who was kind of lost in the foster system and on the streets and stuff. So when I see people getting fed or getting something they're not expecting, there's lots of tears.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
there's lots of tears.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see young families who, for whatever their situation is, and they have fresh food, and had one year this couple, the parents come downstairs with a bike, and I'm like, who's the bike for? And they showed me the picture of their son, and they had no money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the kid dreamed of having a bike. He's 7.
Mm.
And we just sat there and cried. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was my first year. I'm like, I'm there. I'll be back.
So
it's such a beautiful thing. So I'm excited about Ton of Love.
Yeah,
and,
great.
You know, keeping things going.
That's awesome. Good.
Yeah. I think one of the things I'll add in about, you know, having that friend that's teaching yoga around the corner and asking, what do we do? The Odd Fellows culture here is that there's the opportunity to do these things. These things are not Odd Fellow 100%. They couldn't happen without Odd Fellows. They happen and they're better because of the community, or because of our community, that ramps up, finds $25,000, channels that into the food bank instead of that $25,000 kind of getting dispersed in other ways, or clearing that as an additional $25,000 mm-hmm. for somewhere. And so what the Victoria culture is out of the 140 members that are here in this town, we give motivation for people to do more and sure. to get involved. And sure. so, yeah, you go to the Ton of Loves and you get the huge feels. Like, yeah, there's a lot of tears at that. And then you have those other opportunities where you could just like, you know what, let's just raise a bunch of money, let's find a way to do it, or get into the street and be right hands face to face with people. So
mm-hmm.
You get motivation, you get the support. My wife Deb at the Ton of Love would turn around crying, and there'd be mm-hmm. Deanna or someone to hug her. She was having as much of a emotional time as the clients that were coming in.
It's amazing.
So,
yeah.
So it's what Odd Fellows philosophy is about, is to break yourself down from that out of materialistic world or whatever, and get yourself kind of in what's really important. And
sure.
And mm-hmm. yeah, it's a bike, but it can mean so much to somebody special.
And the things are important. The food is important. The bike is important. But for people who live on the street, or people who don't have a lot of money,
yeah.
they don't feel connected to other people.
Right.
I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've felt that. You don't want to ask. You're, you know, you don't feel like you're part of these people's world. So even when Bastion does the, I can't remember, you go out with the flowers, mm-hmm. just the small gestures, mm-hmm. Red Roller, mm-hmm. it's not just the cup of coffee or the hot chocolate, it's the connection.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I see you.
Fantastic.
And yeah. I'm okay with you. You're okay with me. We're still people, you know. Yeah. You know, everyone's circumstance is different. But from when I was a poor child, mm-hmm. That connection that I had with people was more important. Mm. Because I also had people who didn't treat me well, mm. as I'm sure a lot of people who are homeless and mm-hmm. are in need, you know, are made to feel. Mm-hmm. And you're looked down upon. People are always like, you did this to yourself. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything to my... It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
matter. Yeah. It's just a situation. Yeah. And to be accepted and to be acknowledged by other people makes you feel like a human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you belong. And that's... I find that's a big difference with people. Mm-hmm. Is... Mm-hmm. I didn't know this was so emotional. I thought we were just going to come and chat.
Yeah, we are.
We are. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
It's yeah.
Thank thanks. You so much for stopping in.
Well, yeah. thanks. Thanks for sharing with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to our...
What? Our family.
What do we call it with Alistair? Coffee and... Robes and coffee.
Robes and coffee.
So listeners, just to give you a...
Yeah, go ahead.
We can put this in or not, or feel free to take it out. Yeah. But we're in the ante room at the hall, and there's an event going on, and Billy and I are having these series of great, lovely chats.
Amazing.
Sort of hooking people out from the lobby and bringing them in with us. But it's chilly in here, so for our own comfort, we put on some fairly lavish ceremonial. And if you haven't been, if you've not part of our fellows, they are there's some velour, some Ooh. Embroidery. They are brightly colored.
I swear mine's 100 years old, and it looks like it's just from the 60s.
There's some satin lining. Yeah. So Billy and
it's
I looked
back.
Only 50 years
it's
old.
Coming back.
We are quite the show, and perhaps initially intimidating to the person sitting across the table from us. Hence, coffee and robes. Anyway.
Coffee and robes.
Stuart,
digress. Yeah, Stuart. It's very much likely to speak from the heart, and you do not disappoint this time, so thank you.
Well, that'll do it for us. We hope you really enjoyed the show and you got some emotional feels from mm-hmm. some of our speakers and guests on the show. Tara and I really want to thank Jean and Kelly and Alistair and Stuart again. They were great to just be pulled into the ante room and sit down and chat with us. So until next time, when Tara and
Excuse
I...
me.
Oh.
Until next year.
Next year.
Not too early for those jokes.
Ha. Okay, so I got to just tangent here. So what day in January is too late to say Happy New Year?
If you're in like government or an email business world, you got all month. Because anything that replaces cheers or regards is a nice break from the regular. But I think in real life, you get like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm pretty hard on January 9th.
Oh.
I'm pretty fixed on that day.
Perfect.
But
duly noted.
Until then, when Tara and I are back again making more Odd Fellows discoveries and seeing the Odd Fellowship all around us, cheers in FLT.